Welcome, everybody, to the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by some company called Hoppyhead Productions that nobody cares about. I'm your host, Sean, and across the way, Daniel. Daniel-san, how you doing, man?
So, I'm kind of sad at myself, Sean.
Did you have a bad day? Tell me, don't lie. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know you had a bad day.
You're kind of sort of prepared, but not quite.
You didn't tell me in the pre-show you had a bad day.
So, today's like the first day of the year where I've decided it's hot enough for me to turn the air conditioner on. So, I literally haven't ran the air conditioner since like December of last year, pretty much, when it was like unseasonably hot for December.
Remember, global warming's
warm,
a myth.
Right. But it was those days where it was warm, but by the time it got too hot in my apartment where I'd want to turn on the air conditioner, the breeze started blowing, so I could just open windows, and it was nice, right?
Yep.
And I was being frugal and or cheap this year.
Yep.
And so I turned on my air conditioner, and I go to get something, I had a package at the office, and I'm walking by, and I had just happened to look over because my air conditioner is making weird noises, and the fan isn't spinning.
So you failed to test your AC before you needed it, huh?
Yes.
Oh, terrible. Terrible news.
Luckily, I don't own my place, so I just went to the the apartment office and told the lady working that it was broken and they need to send somebody to fix it when I picked up the package I had.
Like ASAP.
Yes. Because it's supposed to be like 100 today.
Oh, boy. Are they going to go fix it right now? Or was this yesterday?
This is today. She said she was going to call and see if she can get somebody to come over, but if not, then first thing in the morning.
Perfect. Just like what you want to hear on a 100-degree day.
Yeah. It's tolerable right now, but when the sun gets back where it's like blasting the back wall of my apartment, then it'll just start sucking. And maybe I'll just go hang out in the pool with the kids.
Bring a six-pack of beer. Get out of here, kids. It's adult time.
Well, we're not allowed to drink at the pool, so I'll just put some like clear liquor in a water bottle.
That's safe.
Or bring a bottle of Coke with a bunch of rum in it.
That's fair, too. That'll do.
I mean, if you're going to drink in public, at least be respectful enough to like disguise it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
The brown paper bag trick doesn't work anymore.
Oh, man, that's funny.
So, Sean.
So, Daniel.
I was able to get my hands on this beer that I was kind of wanting to try. It's a collaboration with a newer brewery in Southern California called Brewery West. And part of the reason why I'm like, it's kind of a weird pronunciation because it's a weird spelling. It's B-R-O-U. Mm-hmm. W-E-R-I-J.
I don't know. Why can't they just make up a better name instead of trying to make a fancy name for brewery?
I mean, I understand, like, the brewery did it because it was clever, I guess, because their name was Rue, R-U-E, so they did brewery with their name in it.
Mm-hmm.
So is it Brewery? Brewout Bowery? But it's...
Oh, man. Terrible.
But it's a play on, like, the, I guess, the Belgian-y breweries, because that's how they spell brewery in, like, Belgium.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Or the motherland, as the white people call it. The Europe area.
The motherland?
It's a collaboration between them and Great Notion Brewing from Portland.
Okay.
Thanks. And the artwork on their cans is way different than anybody else. Like, it's really cool, because they don't print on their cans, they do cut out stickers on their cans, but not like one big sticker. So it's like this one has it's called Time Bandit, so it has a bunch of dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and so they're just individual stickers of dinosaurs, and even the UPC code they usually implement into the art, so it's the actual shape of one of the dinosaurs.
Okay,
with the UPC code.
Nice.
And it's a double India pale ale, Sean.
Oh. My.
It's a DIPA.
The DIPA?
The Google DIPA. So it's got
DIPA.
DIPA. It's got Nelson, Y-E-T,
mm-hmm.
and Motueka hops.
Okay.
And here's the description on Untappd. The result is a tropical stampede bursting with flavors of passion fruit, mango, white grape, and fresh crushed gooseberries. Well, a grain bill of malted barley, spelt, and raw buckwheat provide a rich, velvety, smooth mouthfeel. Which I will attest, it is like, it almost tastes like it's an oatmeal thing because it's got such the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And you can definitely taste the fruit, which is weird because there's no fruit. It's kind of like Firestone Walker's Luponic Distortion series.
Yeah, where they just, do. Yeah, they went after fruit taste without actually using fruit, just the hops.
Science, bitches.
Science! That's not bad.
Exactly.
That sounds pretty
good. No. It's actually really good. It's kind of like hoppy at first, but the more you drink it, the more you can taste the fruit.
Mm.
But the mouthfeel stays consistent.
Fair enough.
If you check out our Instagram, I will post a picture of the can so you can check out the artwork. It's pretty phenomenal, in my opinion.
You do like to post pictures of your beer from the show.
I do. Well, because, you know, just so people can see what it looks like so that if they maybe come across it or want to look for it, they know what to look for.
Fair enough. Fair enough, Daniel. So
that sound is always a good sound.
So Daniel,
it's like
yeah,
I was gonna say it's the happy version of like a shotgun being pumped, because you walk into a dark room and you hear that and you're like, someone's having a party, versus a shotgun being pumped, and that's the sound of, I think I need to change my pants.
Time to die. So the brewery that I'm drinking from used real fruit. They didn't use hops. And I guess in a shocking resolution, Danny, it's from Urban Artifact. It is
weird.
Weird. It is the Raspberry Midwest Fruit Tart, aka Gyroscope.
That sounds like a pretty good description of you too, Sean. Aren't you? You're the show's Midwest Fruit Tart.
I guess so. you're a bad person. I just realized where you were going with that. Anyways.
You're just a tart.
Moving on. I had this at the brewery this past week, so I made sure to grab a six-pack when I was down there. It just tastes like you're drinking raspberry juice. It's very dangerous. I don't know what else to say. I mean, their tarts are just super phenomenal.
What is the ABV on that?
I don't remember. Ooh, 7.5.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, mine's... I didn't mention, but mine's at an 8, even 8.0.
An even 8. That's nice of them.
Yes. It is, isn't it? Oddly specific, right?
Exactly.
So, Sean, question as real quick. Sorry to sidetrack. Just popped in my head. As someone who brews,
yes,
is it very difficult for you to kind of set an end goal ABV and meet that, or is it just, do you just kind of set like a plus or minus range and hope you fall in there somewhere?
If you're a better brewer than me, no, it's the science is basically done. So kind of one of the next steps that I need to do is I want to buy a brewer's friend program, and you buy it on your computer and you enter in, you know, your grain builds, and it'll tell you your estimated ABVs that you're going to shoot for. And then the other part is just being able to brew consistently to meet the same, to be able to pull the same amount of sugars out of the grain, and then when you ferment it with your yeast, making sure that you constantly have strong yeast that will eat about the same. So you should be able to plan your ABV based off doing some math, and because you are experienced at brewing and you're not making mistakes, that should make it to where you're getting your same one. I do know they do some tricks to the trade, like if the ABV is a little heavy, they'll add like water to it to dumb it down a little bit, because when what happens is breweries register with the government every beer that they make and what the ABV is, so they have to make sure that it comes out at that ABV, or they could get into trouble, even if it's not as much. I think it's probably a little bit less trouble if you make it weaker, but I think it just hurts the consumer then, because you're not giving them the right thing. Or if it's supposed to be like 6% and it's 9%, like, you're getting people super sloshed and people aren't making the right decision. So there's a lot of science and practice, but you can, though.
Okay.
Too long didn't listen. Yes, you can plan it. I'm going to start using that now. Too long didn't listen.
TLDR. TLDL.
Yeah. So
how is the beer, Sean?
Oh, I thought I said it was good.
Okay. Well, I just meant, like, any more... Well, I guess not so how is the beer, but anything else you would like to say about the beer, and or you mentioned you went on a little field trip.
Mm-hmm. So, I did go on to a field trip, and it was really only to go to Urban Artifact. Some other things did happen, but that was, like, the main goal, Danny. So, Urban Artifact is down in Cincinnati. It's on the north part, and so it's not as cluttered as in the city. It's in the bottom of an old church, so for some reason, breweries really like churches. So the basement is kind of where the tap room is. You kind of go in through the side and you're there. They have a lot of good tables, and they have everything there is basically a tart. Even their pale ale had a tart feel, was like a pale ale tart, which was really interesting, Danny, because you kind of get like a more, it's a very calm, it's not a hop forward pale ale. But you get, like, some of the citrus notes from it. So it was very interesting to try it. They had I think we tried almost everything that they had in the whole on the whole tap list, and it was all super good. And we went back on Friday for National Donut Day, and they have a beer they brew in the fall, like, around November, and they keep a keg of it for National Donut Day, because it tastes like basically like jelly filling. And so what they do is, if you order one, they take your glass and they dip it in icing and sprinkles, and then pour the beer in there. You drink it. It's supposed to kind of taste like a donut.
Was it a success on the flavors?
Oh yeah, the flavors were real good. It was like high alcohol. It was like an 8%. So I was like, whoa, we got to relax. We got places to drive to today.
Right.
So that one was fantastic. There was they did have a brute sour as well, which was pretty interesting, because you know how brutes have that dry taste? Well, it wasn't, like, overly dry with the sour mixed in. It kind of had, like, it almost was like a weird wine taste, a little bit of a wine taste to it. So that one was really good. And then they also had another tart where they used grapes from red wine grapes. I forget what the type of grape is. You have to look it up. But they use those kind of grapes to make a tart as well. Dude, that was super good. Like, if you love red wine but hate, like, the aftertaste of wine, like, that is the beer you need, because it was just, like, literally brewed so close to how, like, a wine tastes that it tastes like you're drinking wine, but you don't have that aftertaste at all. Like, because they use the different yeast range, so it doesn't give you that that taste of wine. So I was really surprised at how good that tasted.
So it's basically like a beginner's guide to getting into red wine. If it's like, if you never really liked red wine, you can start with this beer. And if you like this beer, then just drink more of it until you've acclimated to the taste of red wine.
Yeah, I guess you could try going down that path, or it could just be your way into sours, and you could forget the red wine.
It sounds like that brewery is, like, instead of sours, they're like the cranberry industry, where it's like, there's this cranberry juice, but then there's like cran apple, and there's cran grape, and it's just like, throw cranberry in everything, and they're just like, we're going to brew a this beer, and we're going to make it a sour. Well, of course, boss, we make everything sours. Even our sour is a sour.
Exactly. Oh man, but no, it was the brewery was fantastic. I picked up a couple barrel aged sours, and then I picked up a gin sour as well to try for another day. So
nice.
Yeah, so spent a lot of money there, but it was well worth it. During the trip, though, we also found out that down the street from Urban Artifact, as you're trying to get to Urban, you pass it, there's another brewery right there called Humble Monk Brewing Company. And Danny, they have the most fantastic image I've ever seen, like a beer for a beer logo, and I put it on Instagram and our Facebook, or on my Facebook, but wasn't that like a pretty sweet ass logo?
It was pretty sweet. I saw it, and I by the time I saw it was kind of late, and I wasn't sure if you were there, but I was going to tell you to like grab me a sticker, or if they have like an enamel pen of that logo, because that was pretty badass.
Yeah, I think they still are trying to get more stuff. This brewery's only been open for 4 months, so this is a brand new brewery. They do a lot more traditional beers. So they had an IPA, they had a Belgian. They didn't have any sours on tap. The IPA was really good. Then they had this beer. I don't know what it's called, but I guess it's like a beer that they used to, like old, like monks used to make. I forget the name of it. And it was also pretty good. The best way to describe the taste is it's kind of like a yeasty, tasty beer. Think of like a Saison, where the yeast is going to have a strong flavor profile in the beer. It's kind of like that. It doesn't taste like a Saison, but that should get you kind of your mind in the right place on where that taste is. Because you're going, if you don't like any kind of yeast tasting beers, then it probably is not going to be for you. But if you're into Saisons, I definitely give it a shot.
I'm definitely getting into like the farm style Belgian-y type beers. I think that's like going to be your next step, Sean, because you're almost following the same path, but from a different starting point. Because I was into the sours, now I'm into the farm style beers that apparently I can sit and leave in my fridge for like 20 to 25 years.
Pretty much. I love the gozes though, man. The gozes and the tarts, man, just too good.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're delicious, but I'm moving away from the stouts and the porters and going into the lighter beers that, oddly enough, actually, I'm starting to enjoy beers that taste like beer. But not Budweiser, because that tastes like ass.
It's kind of funny you say that, because at the end of our night on Thursday, we went and got some food, and then we went to a bottle shop, because I wanted to see if they had any cool bombers. On draft, though, they had a Yeti Red Velvet on Nitro. So we ended up having a pint of that, and it was super good, Danny. Like, I don't know, just every once in a while, just getting, like, some kind of crazy porter or stout is just so refreshing on the palate. Like, it's just, like, that creamy goodness that you're just kind of missing from, like, that you just don't get from, like, sours and IPAs and stuff.
Right, and for me, it's not that I'm going away from it, it's just that used to be pretty much exclusively what I drank, was the dark, high ABV, barrel-aged beers.
Yeah. Danny has, like, two beers, and everybody calls them weak, but they're, like, 12% bombers.
Yes. I just drank a bottle of wine. What have you guys drank lately?
Pretty much. So, that was really good, and then on Friday morning, we went and had breakfast at a place called Hangover Easy, and they served hangover food, so it was a lot of there was a lot of eggs, and there's a lot of chorizo and stuff like that. So it was a lot of greasy food. Man, Danny, it was so fantastic. I had a breakfast burrito, and it was super on par. And all the food just looked really good that was coming out. So I think definitely if you're up in the Cincinnati area and you're drinking and you need some nice breakfast food, Hangover Easy has got to be the place to be.
Did you get a little hair of the dog, Sean? Mimosa, Bloody Mary, a pint of beer, or did you just go healthy and get orange juice?
I had 2 cups of coffee. I wasn't in the hangover mode.
You weren't quite that bad?
No.
I just wanted to get fat and wake up, huh? Living the American dream.
Yep, a glass of water and 2 cups of coffee, and I was set for the day to start drinking again.
Oh, man, those beer ventures are the best, aren't they?
Exactly.
So I ended up going on a little trip on Saturday, Sean, to the little Tokyo region.
Did you now?
There was an anime convention up there called Ronin Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's relatively new. This is only its second or third year. And but they ended up announcing that this other podcast host that I know, Tyler McPhail from the Grand Geek Gathering,
mm-hmm.
they announced that he was going to be emceeing the whole show.
Okay.
And I've been kind of wanting to go anyways, check it out. Plus, it's across the street from Little Tokyo, so you can go eat at Little Tokyo.
Yeah, that's not a bad reason to go.
Yeah, I figure worst case scenario, we'd hang out at Little Tokyo. So we go in, we get our tickets, and like at first, like I was in line forever, and like the line didn't move. And then all of a sudden, somebody came up and started like telling people where to go, and then the line just disappeared and like 2 minutes.
So everybody was in the wrong place, basically.
Or nobody, like, knew, because they had one table for, like, the people that pre-bought their tickets, and then they had one table for people that had bought their ticket, or buying tickets there, but they didn't separate the two lines.
Okay, gotcha.
And so nobody was, like, knowing what, because somebody would be like, all right, next, and then the person who had to buy their tickets would go to the pre-reg ticket, or vice versa.
Hmm.
And so it was just messing up the system, and so somebody finally was, like, telling people where to go, and they're like, all right, we need somebody who next person who's pre-bought their tickets. And they were able to jump ahead of people who were waiting in line to buy their tickets.
Yeah.
Which, fair enough. You know, that worked, but it would have been, they should just have 2 separate lines. Like, they should, instead of having the tables, like, against a wall, and then people standing away from the tables, they should have had the tables against a different wall, and had the line just go out from the tables. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because then at least you know what line you need to be in, and then if the line for pre-registering for tickets is, like, flying through, and your line is taking forever because you're an dummy that decided to wait till the last second, then you'll learn your lesson for next year and pre-buy your tickets, right? shame them into buying their tickets earlier.
Exactly.
So we from there they kind of tried to funnel people into going to the opening ceremonies, and so we ended up going in there, and they had this band come out, played like 4 songs called the band's Lolita Dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little 3-piece band. They're pretty good. The crowd was into it. They announced all the guests. They had the voice actress that did Bulbasaur from the Pokemon shows. They had a couple other actresses that did a bunch of other voices, and like just, you know, 100 of the animes, you know, because it's like, you know, you see it's like voice actress for anime, and then you look and it's like, I did this character in this show and the show and the show, and it's like there's like 500 shows on the resume, and it's like, okay, cool. You must work a lot. But then they had this guy, and I wish I could remember his name, but he, voice actor in anime, but he's also Dante from Devil May Cry.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of the characters from Street Fighter, and that was actually a cool thing, like later in the evening you could go play Street Fighter one-on-one against him in the gaming room.
Oh, nice.
But I guess they announced during his like interview panel that he was able to get clearance to show some exclusive clips from Devil May Cry for the Ronin Expo crowd.
Oh, nice. That's a little good sneak peek.
Yes. So we were planning on going to that, but then like as we were walking out of the opening ceremonies, we just randomly ran into Don and Clint Wolf from the writer and creator and artist from Zombie Ranch, the web series.
Mm-hmm.
And they it was funny because we had just talked about them because my wife and I, because they had started a Kickstarter for their second volume the night before. So pretty much the last thing I did before I went to bed was I gave them some of my money.
Fair enough. Not a bad thing.
And we were just, so we went over and got lunch with them. We were going to go to the little rotating sushi place that we go to, but there was already like, what's up?
No, I was going to say, I was imagining that line is probably ginormous.
Yeah, it was like right around noon, and there was a con going on, so the line, we're like, yeah, let's go somewhere else. We went to the little place on the other side of the same building. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't planning on drinking yet, because they were supposed to have a beer garden as one of the features of the anime show, the Ronin Expo.
Okay.
But Don and Clint got like two pitchers and a bottle of sake between the two of them, because they were on vacation. They're not alcoholics.
They're like, we're on vacation, we're getting crazy.
And they didn't have to drive, because where they live, they can take this train. So,
Dude, that's such a dream right there.
Right? And so we were just kind of talking about life and stuff, and then and it was pretty cool, because we really didn't talk too much shop, I guess. It's about like their work, but I did ask them about the Kickstarter and stuff, and asking about the tiers they did this year was different than last time. Yeah. And they said that because last time for the higher tiers, you could get yourself actually drawn into the comic.
Yeah.
Which you did.
I did do that.
And they said that they did it different this time because people never sent pictures in for them to be drawn into the comic that bought those tiers.
I did, though.
You did. You were one of the few who said.
I'm a good person.
Well, let's not go that far. Okay. You're just not that much of an asshole.
Why would you pay all that money and not, get yourself in there?
Right, and they said they emailed them a couple of times, and Don said it was just frustrating because she'd be like doing a thing, and there'd just be a scene where there'd be like a crowd, and they'd be like, "This would be a great place to draw people in it." And so they send them another email, and it's like, "We'll give them like a day or two," and they never reply. So like, I guess we're just gonna draw this without them.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Right, and so then we ended up going back to walk around Artist Alley, which was pretty small, but they had, you know, I guess this is the good thing and the bad thing about a small anime show especially is there's a lot of local artists, but then sometimes maybe not necessarily the best artists.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not that their work was bad, it's just people were probably buying from them, but just it wasn't something that I would buy. And so we pretty much just breezed through Artist Alley. I picked up a couple things. You know, of course, you know, don't want to, like, be that much of an asshole and not hook some people up with some money that paid for their table.
Yeah.
And then we went over to their quote-unquote beer garden.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, they had a table with, like, an ice bucket, and they had, like, what was, like, on for sale. And they had, like, two different kinds of, like, iced teas and cans. They had, like, Coke products and a bottle of water. And then they had, like... they had like Asahi, something else, major, and then they had like two Lagunitas beers, like their IPA and their like Indian pale, their ale, like their.
Gotcha.
You know, and so I'm like, screw it. First I wasn't getting anything, and then I saw Don and Clint were in there, and I'm like, yeah, I'll get it. I guess I'll go join them and have a beer. I've been wanting a beer anyways already. So we were talking and stuff, and we ended up going back over because they talked about this other restaurant that had, like, cheap drinks. And so, sure enough, it was, like, $7 pitcher of beer. So we went over there and got a little bit more food and just drank, like, three pitchers of beer between the three of us.
Dude, I could have done a better beer garden.
Yes. I mean, it looked like the guy just went to, like, Stater Brothers or the local grocery store and picked up, like, whatever was on sale.
Oh, terrible. Terrible, which I guess, terrible,
I mean,
terrible.
if you don't have any, if you're a small con and don't have sponsorship, that's probably what he did, what they did.
I'll do. So I guess I can't be that mad. What I need to start doing. That's how I'm going to do it. Because then I'm not selling it, right? So I'm not selling beer. I'm just giving away free alcohol.
Yeah, like exactly.
I just want exposure.
And like find a pay you an exposure. Yeah. The kind of exposure that won't get you arrested and put on a list where you can't live around schools anymore.
Yeah.
And so we went back over and we watched the Grand Geek Gathering. They had a panel at 5:45 that ended up getting pushed back to almost 6:30 because the costume contest took forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Unnecessary Debates. And so they have teams that'll ask just random questions, like they ask which Avenger would be a better addition to the anime Live Love, which is basically like a dance type anime, dance team anime.
I mean, it had to be Black Widow.
Actually, it was before Captain America were the two debates.
Mm. It's not fair because Captain America has America's ass.
That was how he opened. He just said, "I have two words for you, America's ass." And then they came back that Captain America was just so rigid and stiff that he would never learn any of the dances. He would just suck on stage.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I mean, if he dances anything like he fights, he's pretty active. He was able to take on those dudes in an elevator. That's pretty limber. With that ass of his.
Fair enough.
So then, after we left, not that we were hungry, we probably shouldn't have eaten, but there's a burger place out there that we've made the vow that anytime we're within a certain radius of it, we're going to go. Mm-hmm. So when I looked, and we were 7 miles away, which surprisingly took less than half an hour at like 8 o'clock on a Saturday night in downtown LA.
Yeah.
That should have been like a 2 hour trip. So the burger place in question is called Grill 'Em All, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you go in and they're playing metal music and they have metal bands show up for signings and they do special events, but then they also do stuff with the local independent wrestlers, and they always have a burger of the month named after one of the local wrestlers that usually shows up to bar wrestling.
Okay. What was it this
month? This one, it was named after this wrestler, Eli Everfly.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically an al pastor taco on a hamburger.
Oh.
So, well, the last one, last month, it was a burger that came with two chicken taquitos on it.
Oh, nice.
But this one, so, like on the bottom, between the burger and the bottom bun, they had put a deep-fried flour tortilla, so it was almost like a tostada type thing. And then on the burger, they put, what's up?
Oh, I was going to say, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. I ended up taking it off just because, like, it was kind of getting, like, the weird, like, crunch. So I would take it off and take a bite of the burger and a bite of that to get the texture thing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had the pastor with pineapple and stuff. They had this jalapeno green salsa on it. And radishes, like the pickled radishes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was so good. And then they have, like, 5 to 10 taps. But it's 5 to 10 very well-curated taps. Like, we were talking to the manager, and her daughter was working there too, yeah. And she was telling us about how she's like kind of comes up with the burger ideas, but then, I got one of the beers from, they had a blackberry saison from Browery West there.
Yeah.
So I got that, and she was telling me that they also had two other beers that you could only get at the Browery West tap room, or there on tap. Those are the only two places.
Nice.
And one of the ones that they had was the beer I'm drinking today, Time Bandits.
How sneaky of them. That's a good idea, though.
Right. So they're located in Alhambra. So, like I said, it was like 7 minutes away from, like 7 miles away from Little Tokyo, so it was really close. Ate the burgers, watched the match that was going on was Undertaker versus Edge in a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
Oh, from like back in the day.
Yeah, because Edge had to retire because he broke his neck so many times, and Undertaker is like 50 now, even though he's still wrestling Goldberg, who's also like 50.
He's like 80. They're like taking canes, yes, and wheelchairs and stuff, like, I'm going to get you.
Pretty much, yeah. I guess I didn't watch the match. They had a thing on Monday night, or Tuesday night, to promo this match that they had on Friday in Saudi Arabia, the Vince McMahon doesn't care about human rights as long as he gets paid enough event.
Exactly. Fair enough.
But they were in there for like 3 minutes, and they said you could tell they were both just gassed. And somebody even made a post about it on Instagram, which The Undertaker liked, about how it's like, dude, just seriously, let them retire and live their life in peace, man. They're both like too old and winded to wrestle a long match.
Yeah. It was like a 5 minute match. They're like, that's it? And then somebody was like, that's what she said.
Exactly. But like, this wasn't even a match. This was more that, like, they do the build-up before the match where they stare each other down. And
yeah.
somebody, like, one move gets done, and they kind of tussle a little bit, and they said they were already winded from that, so...
Yeah, they are. I'm sure, like, high cardio is not in their everyday plan anymore. I just want to go fishing.
Sure. Right? I mean, at least Kane, the wrestler formerly known as Kane, got it right. He, you know, he went into government. He's mayor. Kane.
He chokeslams people into submission. He's like, I don't need no special interest group here.
Actually, like, he did that, like, before a speech. He showed up and had his Kane mask on and chokeslammed somebody and then took it off and gave a speech.
That's hilarious. So,
yes, you're accurate.
It's got to be some hillbilly town, because that sounds totally right.
It's like in Tennessee, I want to say. It's in the Midwest somewhere, where he grew up.
Tennessee's like South, bro.
Well, it's not like, yeah. Well, it's the South or Midwest, somewhere right around there. I just know it's not like...
It had to be a southern state. I mean, it just totally makes sense.
Yeah. I'll look it up as we continue the show, and I'll just randomly yell it out when I find it. Because, you know, you asked a follow-up. You ruined it by asking a follow-up question, Sean.
You just weren't prepared enough.
Don't ask follow-up questions. That's rule number, like, something. Actually, I was right. Knox County, Tennessee.
Yeah, you were.
For once.
That's funny.
So, Sean, this is June.
It is June.
And the month of June is also known as Pride Month.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny seeing some of the drama unfold on the Reddit because of the people that are openly mocking the corporations that are jumping on the... making a rainbow version of their logo, basically, and the people on Reddit are like, so you don't care about it the other 11 months, you only care about it this month because you want us to give you more money? And then, apparently they've announced some people, I'm not sure what group, they're going to throw a straight pride parade.
Of course.
And the person they've named to be their grand marshal is this super, like, right-wing conservative guy, that Milo Yolo, he's like Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even going to attempt to say his last name in my state right now, but the funny part about that is, even though he's like super like alt-right,
mm-hmm.
he's also openly gay.
I'm confused at what we're trying to do here.
I think they are too, because they named him as the Grand Marshal of their straight pride parade.
But he's gay.
I think he's gay. But he's alt-right. And so, I guess him being alt-right makes them alt-right.
They needed somebody with some creativity to make the parade, so gotta get a gay guy.
Apparently, yes. But then a funny story, man. On the first Friday of June, which I think was June 1st even,
mm-hmm.
They had Pride Night at Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
And this guy, I don't work directly with him, but people I work with on the second part of my job were telling me that, like, he was talking about going to the game, about how much he loves the Dodgers, and he's going to show how much pride he has in being a Dodger fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's not what it means, dude. And they're like, he was like, what do you mean that's not what it means? And he's like, do you see these letters? And he's like, yeah, what do those mean?
Oh.
And they're like, they told him, and he was like, irrationally pissed about the fact that they were lying to him about gay pride night.
Well, he found out about it one way or another, right?
So, yeah. So, apparently, he pretty much sold his tickets for, like, half price, almost gave them away because he didn't want to go to the game that bad, so other people got hooked up.
Jeez.
And so, I guess people were giving him a hard time, like, was he worried that everyone would be watching him while he ate his Dodger dog?
Oh man, so, people are way too paranoid about this shit, man.
Right, and then those are the same people. It's like, why do we need a gay pride month? And it's like, because of assholes like you, man. Like, there was this. I'm gonna bring a damper on the show a little bit, but sometimes you got to for reality's sakes. But in France, these two, this lesbian couple was on their, like, on a train going home from somewhere, Mm-hmm. And a group of guys saw them and, like, demanded that they make out in front of them.
Yeah.
And the ladies, said no, and the dudes, like, beat them up.
It's so pathetic.
Right?
People are so dumb. I just don't get people.
No, man. So, when, like, and I don't know if you get this, especially where you live, but as being, like, you know, a white straight male, I get a lot of dudes coming up to me to think that I, like, also agree with them, and they'll say some stupid shit, and it's like, oh, cool. Now I know that I don't have to waste time trying to, like, figure out if I want to be your friend or not. You've made that decision easy for me.
I don't think so. I think I get a lot of people that assume, because I'm from California, that I'm already liberal, so it makes it easier for me, because I typically don't have to deal with that shit. So
you just get the "Have you converted to Ohio State yet?" questions, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I just tell them that Ohio State's lame. And then they just hate me for other reasons, so.
Right. That's their thing of, like, do I waste time trying to make this guy my friend, or do I hate him right away? And you just tell him, you know what, man, I'm going to hate you, so you should hate me. Mutual disrespect.
Pretty much. Oh, man. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
So, I was playing some Magic the Gathering Commander at this shop not too far from me called Top Deck Keep, Sean.
Is it a new shop?
And it's new-ish. It was a different shop before, and then the guy was like, decided he like wanted to sell. And he said, according to him, he said that was his plan all along. So they originally opened up in the same location, but then they moved to a bigger one. It's pretty much right on the corner of Van Buren and Arlington.
Okay.
On the airport side.
Got you.
I've gone there a couple times, but this last time I went, they had a YouTube channel playing in the background called Chilled Cow.
What is that about?
So I should have resent it. I sent a link to the group chat a while ago to have you guys check it out, all of you, because it's pretty cool. Like, it's just like chill beats, and like there's two like channels. There's one for you to like just chill / study to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the background is this girl at a desk with her cat.
Gotcha.
Right? And in the background, it's either daytime or nighttime, I guess, depending on what time you're listening to it. And then for the sleeping one, she's in bed with her cat, like, getting ready to fall asleep, but she has her headphones on.
That's pretty funny.
Right. It's really cool. And they sell merch, so you can buy, like, the shirts with her on there, or pins, or just different, and their actual, the cow logo, the Chilled Cow logo.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But it's on, I think they're on Spotify as well. I know they're on one of the streaming networks for radio, so you don't have to, like, have it on YouTube. But it was really cool to have it, like, playing in the background, because there's no music. It's the artist Moshop that I kind of introduced you to,
mm-hmm.
who's, like, anime with, like, beats and stuff. But there's, like, anime girls singing.
Yeah.
It's like that, but without the vocals. It's all instrumentals and a little more, slower beats and stuff. So, like I said, it's just something you could have in the background while you're studying, or just you don't want it to be silent, but you don't really want to pay attention to music kind of moods.
Yeah, gotcha. No. Yeah, I could see that. A little sneak peek.
Yeah.
My phone likes to do this thing now when I, like, close out of YouTube. It just makes a smaller window, so I have to double-click on another... I have to click on another window. Super convenient.
Sounds like fun.
Like, it's like, really good if you want to keep the YouTube channel up and do something else, but when you're trying to, like, exit out of YouTube, I think it, like, adds extra steps, and that's kind of annoying.
Right. Well, like, YouTube itself is annoying, too, because, like, if you're watching something on YouTube and you get a phone call or you need to go do something else, like, you get a message and you want to reply, so you close that YouTube, but you don't leave it so you can go back to the video. And it comes back, and it's like, hey, we could have been playing that video in the background the whole time, and it's like, but I made a phone call, or I want to watch the video. I don't want to just listen to it. Because they're like, you want to do your free trial of YouTube Premium?
Yeah.
It's like, no, thank you. And it's, why can't it give me the option of don't ask me again, is all I'm saying. I don't need to answer that question. Like, twice a day, every day.
Pretty much.
So I sent you the link to a trailer, Sean, for a movie that I think I hope people go see, but I don't know if it's going to be on the national radar. It's called Ford versus Ferrari with Matt Damon and Christian Bale.
Dude, I had some issues finding the video. Because I was like, I'll just Google it because I could find it. You know, I don't need to look it up on my phone. I have my laptop up. This was before the show. Dude, for whatever reason, somebody's fucking homemade video is, like, more popular than the fucking trailer. And I had to, like, dig and search for the actual trailer. I was, like, so irritated about it. I was getting ready to ask you, like, Danny, is the trailer just, like, two cars kind of racing with some random music? And that's it? No talking or anything? I'm watching this and it ends and I'm just, like, and it's, like, oh, it was a fan theory trailer. I'm like, okay, well, that wasted 3 minutes of my life.
I'm like, well, now you know how our women feel.
And then I go on I'm going to, like, videos and they're all like this. I'm like, this movie, maybe Danny's just bamboozling me and this isn't a real movie and he just got me to look like an idiot for the show.
I don't need that to do this.
So it does, yeah, you have to find the trailer that actually has them, like, in it, or else...
Which is funny, because I went straight to YouTube and found it immediately.
I don't know, man.
Maybe some of us, like, maybe you should just use Apple products, because they're a lot easier to navigate, and you can find what you're looking for.
Nah.
You don't want to spend $1,000 for a thing to hold your monitor?
No. No. I don't want to.
So, basically the story is, back in the days, Ferrari was just dominating the racetracks.
Yep.
And Ford, being rich, decided to go and offer to buy Ferrari. He made an offer to buy Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And the stipulation was that Ferrari would basically be the race car, this only, and Ford would make street cars only.
Yep.
And Ferrari kind of agreed to commit to the deal. And then, like, basically when it went time to sign the papers, Ferrari's like, I think I changed my mind.
Oh, boy. I bet that didn't make and him so happy.
Not at all. So then Ford set out to make a Ferrari killer car.
Yep.
Which ended up being the GT40, which ended up winning multiple races against Ferrari after it came out. And so this is the story of that car getting made. I wasn't sure when I saw the title of the movie, like, how much, like, it would actually, what it would show. But it looks like from the trailer it shows the development of the car, because Matt Damon is the engineer, mm-hmm. and then Christian Bale plays the driver that worked with him, basically the test driver of the car.
Yeah.
So it looks like it'll be a good movie. I mean, anything with Matt Damon and Christian Bale is going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, once I saw who was in it, I was like, dang, dude, this is like a serious cast. Like, this isn't a joke. And I mean, just looking at it, I mean, it was already pretty good. Like, Christian Bale's already, like, you know, he's kind of like an out there artist-y kind of person, but he's a race car driver, obviously. So he has a very certain attitude that people don't like, but, like, Matt Damon's like, dude, you need this guy. Or else, like, it's more than just a car. You need, like, you need a driver, too, that will do what needs to be done to the car to make sure it goes. So, and I thought the end of the trailer was pretty funny when Matt Damon takes the, drives the car with the CEO and it, like, just makes him, like, super upset because he does, like, all this crazy driving and skidding around to show, like, how good the car is.
Well, because he's like, we're going to go fast. And CEO's like, I can handle it. Give me what you got. And the guy, and he's like, challenge accepted.
Basically, you've been a dick to me this whole time, so I'm going to fuck with you back.
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly. So
it comes out in November, right?
Yes, it does.
So you got a while, but make sure you check out the trailer. Make sure you find the trailer with the two lovely gentlemen in it.
I think I'll post it to our Facebook page to help people find it.
Don't be like
maybe
me. Find it.
Yeah, don't be Sean. So, I was flipping around, you know, because I actually am old and pay for cable still. And I was flipping around on Showtime, and they had a documentary on the retired NBA player Ron Artest.
Okay, I remember that name.
Who Yes, he started off with the played most of his career with the Pacers, and then he got traded to Sacramento, and then went to Houston, and then went to the Lakers. And basically, he was one of those guys that would fight on the court, get suspended a lot. He was the one that was involved in that big brawl in Detroit, where players and fans got arrested.
Okay.
And so it's pretty interesting to see where he grew up. He grew up in Queens, and he was on the same high school all-star basketball team as Lamar Odom and Steven Jackson, right? The AAU team.
Yeah.
Just a real quick version, I guess. The documentaries are getting a lot better these days. They're actually getting legit people on as guests. It's not just his neighbor who watched him play street ball. They're actually getting people that play. You know what I'm saying? And this one thing that I like about this documentary that's kind of annoying about most documentaries is this one's only one hour and a half long thing versus 6 2-hour long things the Wu-Tang Clan one or Chernobyl.
Yeah.
But if you come across it, if it's on Netflix or anything like that, dude, it's really good. Ron Artest, he grew up in a rough neighborhood, ended up having a history of family mental illness that kind of showed through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just he ended up changing his name to Metta World Peace.
Oh, jeez.
When he was with the Lakers.
Yeah, I remember that.
But if you like documentaries, it's a good watch.
Okay.
So they, they've announced already that Borderlands 3 is coming out near the end of the year.
Yes, they have.
They announced that they're coming out with a free, actually it's already out by the time you're listening to this, a free DLC for Borderlands 2. Called Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary, but it's basically going to be a bridge gap set the story up between 2 and 3.
Okay, so should I throw Borderlands 2 in from my PS3 and get it, or is it going to be you can only get it off the newest editions for Xbox and PS4?
It looks like it says it'll be it looks like it'll be available on the PS3 and the Xbox 360 all the way back.
Okay, cool, because I really don't feel like playing the game to play a little expansion, but maybe I will have some faith in Borderlands 3 with this. We'll see, though.
Right, somebody asked the snarky question of, so will the DLC explain why Claptrap sounds different in 2 and 3? Because apparently there was a huge kerfuffle between Randy Pitchford and the voice actor for Claptrap, and they're not on speaking terms.
He's not
his voice. Yes.
Oh wow, that's such a disappointment, man. Claptrap is one of the things that carries the series through.
Right, Claptrap, but Tiny Tina will be in it, but it doesn't look like she's going to be that tiny anymore because it looks like time has passed.
Yeah, it looks older. So, did we go into the whole? Did we talk about Borderlands 2 and why I hate it so much, or was that
no? Oh, we did not.
Oh, I was telling people, because there's a lot of people that are super hyped about, Borderlands 3, and I'm just not excited at all. The story at I think it was my Destiny clan, that's who it was. I was the ending of Borderlands is terrible. This big old vault thing that you're chasing is just super lackluster. And then Borderlands 2, after you get through Tiny Tina, it's a grind to fight your way through this game, because all the what they did is in Borderlands 2 is they took all the characters from Borderlands 1 and turned them into NPCs, and then all they did was go, hey, let's just make 4 random people and almost have the same powers and same skill set, but nobody cares about them, and here's your new vault hunter. So they were literally terrible copy paste of the other characters. And then, they released, two or three Vault Hunters that were, expansions that you could buy for, $10 were, way better and, way more interesting and had, completely different powers than the other ones. So I always felt cheated by that. And then the third game, the prequel, was just, I couldn't get into it at all. The gameplay just changed so much with, trying to bounce around the moon, and it was just chaotic, and I was it was doing the same jokes, and I was well, this is terrible.
Right, that was one of those games I ended up picking up for dirt cheap. I got the Handsome Collection for like less than $20. I think I got it for like 15.
Yes.
And it's still like a lot of games that I have still in a nice plastic seal.
Oh, so you haven't even tried it yet?
No, I have not. I haven't even opened it, so yes.
Yeah, you should see if you can't get your $20 back.
I'll play it at some point, maybe. So we finally got some news on Death Stranding. I guess some news. At least a release date, Sean.
No, the trailer was super ridiculous, and there's like, it's just like, I don't know if I'm watching a movie or playing a game. Like, at some point, you know? It's just like, the graphics are really nice, like, the story's kind of really out there as well, so I think it's going to be a very interesting concept when we play it, and I think it's going to really mess with people's heads.
Right. Hideo Kojima, like, you know, they're talking about how, like, I was listening to this podcast and they're making fun of Square Enix because it's like in the time that Hideo Kojima made, like, the last Metal Gear he made, announced that he was making a game on his own, showed footage stuff for Death Stranding, came out with this trailer and a release date for Death Stranding. This all happened in the time frame that Square Enix announced they're going to do a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
We don't even have a date for Final Fantasy VII, do we?
I don't think so. No.
Oh,
so
boy.
That's the joke.
Maybe that's what we're gonna find out this week on E3. Doo-doo-doo.
Exactly. So another thing that there was like a leak. Speaking of Square Enix, there was a leak about one of their games that they're doing. It's not, and there might be a little bit of hope because they're not doing it alone. It's through Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah.
Which is the game that is the company that made the reboot of the Tomb Raider series with young Lara Croft.
Yep.
But they're making an Avengers game, Sean.
Nice. Is it going to have America's ass in it?
Well, here's the thing. Like they posted their like panel or whatever announcement thing for E3, and it gave out way too much information, and then they took it down. But people were still able to like basically quote it or screenshot it.
Yeah.
So the quote they put on there was, "Embrace your powers and join key members of the development team at Crystal Dynamics and the creative team as they talk exclusively about the upcoming Marvel's Avengers. This is the defining Avengers game experience, an epic action-adventure that combines cinematic storytelling with continuous single-player and cooperative gameplay. Moderated by Andrea Rene, assemble in teams of up to four players, master extraordinary abilities, and customize your heroes to fit your play style and combine powers to defend an ever-expanding world under constant threat." So
that was too much. I feel like it's very generic.
Well, no, I mean, it's still like, it gives out kind of like, I guess, some details about the game because is it going to be like Spider-Man where like, I haven't played it, but you can like have like you can build like a different, I guess, have a different build of Spider-Man where you can be like all brawn and be a puncher, or you can be more agile and like basically use his spider senses and get away from stuff, or you can be like a smarter Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So is it just going to be something as simple as that, or are you going to be able to create your own hero and have powers of your own choosing versus being like Captain America? So it'll be kind of interesting to see what's announced at E3, which is going to be happening as you're listening to this, or has already happened, depending on when you listen to this.
Yeah, that's fair.
But and I forgot to mention one thing that's cool in Death Stranding is, even though it's a single player game, it's very much like Dark Souls in a way where, you can like basically it's all happening in like the same world, and so you can kind of come across other player safe houses and stay there, and maybe even like share supplies and stuff.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
So, and I don't know if it's gonna be like Dark Souls where you can leave hints if there's like a boss fight you can't get past, but
yeah,
there's at least things where you can like interact with other people's presence, if not them themselves.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty cool. Danny, so we're on the verge of E3 being here. Is E3, like, still living up to its thing, or is it just something now that's just disappointing that, you know, every year there's I don't know if people are just getting saltier or just more upset, but it seems like with PlayStation leaving and, you know, is E3 even worth it anymore?
You know, I've never gotten as hyped up about E3 as other people. Because for me, E3 is very much like the NFL draft, right? Where you have like ESPN and Fox and all the other sports networks for the like basically from the day after the Super Bowl, already talking about who's going to be drafted where and what team's getting this and numbers and stats and all this stuff. And then you get to the draft and then you get somebody saying something stupid like, if you draft Peyton Manning before you draft Ryan Leaf, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And then you come to find out that Peyton Manning's won multiple Super Bowls and Ryan Leaf, you know, has multiple arrests on his record. That's E3, where it's like it's all hyperbole and speculation. Because even like, you know, after E3 last year, Anthem looked amazing, didn't it?
Yeah, I think everybody was like shitting bricks on how great Anthem was going to be. It was going to destroy The Division, destroy Destiny. Like, this was going to be the new MMO shooter. Like, everything else was going to hell in a handbasket.
Right, and the same thing back, you know, in previous ones with, like, No Man's Sky. You know, I mean, and granted, just like the NFL draft, there's players that, you know, everyone says is going to be great that turns out great. There's players that, you know, nobody really knows about. Like, there's that Tom Brady at the E3 where he's drafted, like, almost at the end of the draft and ends up basically being the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
But those are, like, the little indie games, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Anymore, especially with, like, developers releasing games where you have, like I bought Halo Wars 2, right?
Yeah.
I bought it cheap. I got it for, like, $8 at Walmart. I went to finally turned on my Xbox.
Yeah.
One, and went to install it. Like, the install for the game was 25 gigs.
Wow.
And so I installed it, right? I'm like, 25 gigs? That's not bad. I went to put it in. It's like, oh, you want to play the game? There's an update first. The update was 32 gigs.
Jeez. I mean, these games are massive now. I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, we want better quality things. We want better, bigger maps and more story and yada, yada, yada. And I get, like, the games are just getting massive files. Like, it's almost annoying to actually... This is, like, why I don't almost want to go digital, because it's so much easier to put a disc in than it is to, like, download it through the internet. Like, I get it. Like, you have all the benefits of it. But, dude, you know how long it takes to download a game on PlayStation now? It takes, like, it's like one of those things, well, you might as well buy it and download it right before you go to bed, because if you do it in the middle of the day, you're not going to be able to do anything else with your PlayStation. Hopefully you have, like, some stuff to go do.
Right. Like, go take a nap, you know, go jump on your Xbox and play another game, because that's the other thing that sucks. Like, if you're, especially if you have the disc, if you're installing, it's not like you can go play another game while that's downloading.
Yeah, exactly. So, that piece sucks, but I don't know. I mean, everybody gets super hyped about E3, and I don't know, it always seems like recently it's just been, like, a disappointment after disappointment with some of the announcements. And then it's like, you know, everybody, you get the whole comment, like, last year, I don't remember who it was, but everyone's like, you have phones, right? You know, that
That was in that E3, that was, at BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah, so there's BlizzCon there, you know, everybody, yeah.
And they could have fixed that, because, like, when they announced Fallout, the mm-hmm. Fallout mobile game, but then they also announced Fallout 76,
yep.
Like, people were like, hey, we get two things. Like, yeah. If they would have announced, like, a Diablo 3 and yeah. the phone app,
yeah.
then people wouldn't... I don't think people would have been as salty, but they're like, we have a new Diablo announcement. Everyone was like, Diablo 3? Diablo 3? And they're like, just wait and see. You'll be excited. It's the news you want. And it's a phone app. And they're like, no, that's not what we want. Fuck you. Right?
Pretty
And I understand where they're coming from, because they kind of built up some hype leading yeah. up to BlizzCon about the next Diablo game.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what E3 is supposed to be, though. It's like, it's supposed to be a big old hype fest, and, like, people are running to GameStop in the middle of E3, watching it on their phone, driving to the car so they could start pre-ordering all these new games and stuff. So, it's like, I don't know. Like you said, I think it's a good analogy about the draft, where all these games, like, get hyped up and, you know, and reviewed, and, oh, these, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. I mean, but we don't know. Nobody's played the game yet.
Yeah, a little peek behind the curtains for the couple people that are listening. As we're speaking, we're about 10 or 15 minutes, in theory, into Microsoft's presentation, depending on how, if the technology actually worked. And they said that the presentation was supposed to be like two and a half hours, and they were going to have 14 exclusive games. And I don't know if that's exclusive or it's timed exclusive, because that was kind of bullshit at E3 last year when they're like timed exclusive. And it's like, we have 75 exclusives. And it's like, yeah, but 55 of those were timed exclusives.
Yeah.
For like a couple days or a week or whatever.
Yeah. It's exclusive.
Woo! Yeah. So, I mean, of course, you know, the nerds in us will at least keep track of what's going on. I just want to let you know, Sean, so you can be disappointed in me again.
I'm always disappointed. The bar is never raised, so I can never be disappointed. But I think sometimes you can, though.
It might be a little lower. So, right before we started recording, I had to buy some Bottle Logic beer, but I also pre-ordered Borderlands 3.
All right, everybody, that's it for today.
And not only did I order Borderlands 3, but I ordered the $100 version of it.
Wow, Danny going full balls out to the wall.
Because I have Gamers Club unlocked, so I already took that. Already took like $20 off.
Yeah.
And then I had $75 in, or $70 in Gamer Club points.
Mm-hmm.
So out the door with tax, then I ended up spending like $15 on the game.
Wait, so you literally got the $100 package for $15?
Yes.
Jeez, must be nice.
It's super nice.
I mean, you yeah. I guess you do buy all these other games that never get played anyway, so.
Right, and the Gamers Club Unlocked, man, is pretty nice. It's like $30, and it's like 2 years, and you get 20% off. So even if you buy like a full price game, that's already like $10 off or $15 off, $12 off or whatever. So you buy like three games, and it's more than paid for.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But speaking and saying that real quick before we go.
Yeah.
Right now until like June 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Both PlayStation and Xbox stores are having huge E3 sales.
Yeah, they are.
Bunch of games. And then Best Buy like has a shit ton of games. I picked up like three games for like $60.
Nice. Not too shabby.
So, nah.
Not too shabby.
Not each, but total.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Boom. There you have it. Boom. Go start exactly. Dropping some money.
It's almost like the Steam sale, but better because you don't need a PC. PC life forever, man. I mean, console life. Fuck PC life.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Shots fired. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening if you made it this far. Congratulations.
Maybe a prize later. We'll get you some cheapy, like, what's it called? Cracker Jack prizes?
Well, if you listen this far and you want a prize, DM us, and we'll send you a sticker.
It's on Danny.
Literally? I'll stick it to me. I'll stick it someplace and then take a picture of it and send it to you. Or I'll just send you a fresh, unused sticker. Your choice.
Fair enough. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook for all sorts of different updates going on. And listen to us on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and all these other fun places. Danny, it's been a fun-filled time. Can't wait to talk about some video games and E3 recap next week.
It'll be like just as disappointing as telling you about my life.
Pretty much. Stay tuned!
Yay!